Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Jamie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you've had a great week since the last one. Thanks to all the feedback from the podcast last week with Lisa Boucher. A very different take on everything. She's quite different, isn't she, in her approach to a lot of the other guests that I've interviewed. But really, I thought it was fascinating, actually. And I've been thinking about a few of the things that Lisa said, particularly when she was talking about consider the maybe. I love that expression, that rather than trying to be hard and fast about everything, sometimes we beat ourselves up. And you know, it feels too big. The whole thing of giving up the booze just feels massively too big. So she says, just be open and consider the maybe. And it's a really great tip. I also loved her expression. We were talking, obviously her book is Raising the Bottom, and we're talking about the fact that, you know, really don't wait until it all goes bad. There are lots of opportunities to stop or reduce your drinking. But she was talking about her own experience and saying that she didn't have this rock bottom, this dramatic rock bottom moment, which, of course, some of my guests have had, ended up in prison cells or whatever. Just like me, she didn't have that. But she says she had an emotional rock bottom and a spiritual bankruptcy. And I thought, wow, that absolutely sums it up. That's the case for so many of us. Actually, emotionally, we are at rock bottom. So, yeah, it was a great interview. I mean, all my guests have been great. I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed. And if you're new to the podcast, please do listen back over the episodes. We've got some just really amazing guests. They've all got a unique insight into what worked for them, what their tips, what they would recommend. But the one thing that they all have in common is that they really genuinely believe that they've just found so many benefits, absolutely no regrets whatsoever. In fact, I don't think I've ever met or even heard of anyone who regrets giving up drinking or reducing the drinking. Which is pretty good. Just a note again for anyone in London that our event is Monday 20th of May. It's a free event in London at the Jago in Dalston. It's hosted by the charity My Yard, a great little charity. Just look up what they do. It's kind of all in the hands of one woman, really, who's a bit of a powerhouse and does it all. But she hosts these events, and we're able, because it's for the charity, we're able to do them for free. Obviously, a donation to the charity would be lovely, but it's not required. And we just want to bring an opportunity for people to meet up with like-minded people and to get some inspiration. It's very informal. Nobody feels, it certainly is not at all judgmental. I mean, not at all. It's just a very low-key, cool environment. And this time we've got some great guests. We've got Elsa Frank, who is a leading behavioural change expert. She's a hypnotherapist. She's author of the book Cut the Crap and Feel Amazing. And she has worked for many years with people with all kinds of issues and addictions, and she's helped thousands of people reduce their drinking. So she's fascinating. And also Dr. Richard Piper, who is the man behind Dry January, who works with Alcohol Change UK. Again, he's got a lot of insights into how, you know, the most interesting, effective, if you like, ways to make your decision and to decide to either drink mindfully or to quit the booze. So that's a really interesting guy as well. I know some of his views because I've interviewed him for the podcast, so I'll be playing you that soon as well. But it'd be just great to meet some of you in person. It's fantastic for me because you sort of sit here talking into a microphone, and it's really difficult to actually imagine anyone who might be listening. So if you if you're able to come on Monday the 20th, we would love that. So please check it out and see if you can make it. It's about 7 o'clock we start, and you need to grab a ticket. Even though it's free, we do need to know who's coming. So if you go to Eventbrite and just type in My Yard, or you can type in the name of the event, which is Self-Care for the Sober Curious, and grab your free ticket there. Feel free to drop me a message if you want any more information. It's just at Jane Lee Grace on Instagram or on Facebook. So what's been happening this week? It's been a very busy week for me. It always is, actually. For those of you who don't know, I'm in the middle of my Platinum Awards at the moment. I do a lot of work with holistic living and showcasing and promoting natural and organic and eco brands and services, actually. So I'm right in the middle of these awards. They're very exciting because we've got some really cool judges like Joe Wood and Cary Grant and Zoe Ball, of course, famously, but I think she's about 2.5 years sober now. Not that that's anything to do with the awards, although it kind of is, because we've got a category for alcohol-free drinks. But I'm just sharing with you, that's kind of what I've been massively busy on, is gathering these products. We've got a lot of testing to do, and I'm doing a lot of promotion to help people get their brand out to a wider audience. So if you know anyone who might be interested in that, check out platinumawards.co.uk. Because, you know, the more I do this work, the more I realise actually everything does very much link in. It's so often the case that people decide to quit drinking, and once they kind of find their feet, if you like, once they're over the initial stages of feeling a bit rough and not getting any sleep and not having much energy, people often find that that's the point at which they're really interested and just improving their life generally. It opens up a whole new world. People find they've got more time on their hands so they can look to what it is they really want to do with their life. Often people change careers, start a business. There's a whole lot of stuff that people look to do. And many people turn to fitness just making themselves feel so much better. And all the stuff I talk about comes in with that. So the good nutrition and the not using, you know, chemicals, ditching the chemicals in your life. People often start thinking about all of those things once they ditch the booze, because it just opens up everything. And that links nicely to my guest today, because I heard of Harriet Whaley Cohen when I think she did a webinar with Club Soda, actually. Laura Willoughby from Club Soda, who was at our last event and also one of my podcast guests. And Laura was interviewing Harriet specifically around good nutrition and, you know, some good kind of health tips for once you've given up the booze. Because without any doubt, your body will have taken a hammering if you've been over drinking. And certainly I was really grateful in the early days that I was able to access some really good information on nutrition and the kind of supplements that I needed to put back. So I will do more on that in the podcast over the coming weeks. But Harriet is also great at empowering people to leave behind self-doubt, disempowering patterns, and try and garner new ways of thinking. Because one thing we know for sure is that, you know, for many of us, we might just start off drinking alcohol because that's what everyone does and we're drinking socially or whatever. But over time, we often find that we're using alcohol to numb something out. It's much easier just to have a drink than it is to actually face whatever it is that's going on, big or small. You know, this isn't just, we're not just talking about people who have crisis. Many of us just use the alcohol because it means we don't have to face anything. And in many cases, what's going on is a lack of self-esteem at some level. And that's a lot of the work that Harriet does. We'll talk about it in the interview, but she runs retreats called Goodbye Not Enough. She runs these for women who don't feel good enough. It's such a common theme. It's something I talk about a lot in the media training work that I do. It's very linked to being able to have the confidence to go out there and promote your work or talk about whatever it is, the message you want to share. It's really difficult to do that if you're not really bought in to your own authenticity. And just so many of us got issues with this. It's almost universal, actually. And until we kind of address it there is this voice in our head, just like there's the addictive voice around booze, you know, telling us, yeah, go on, have another one. Many, many of us have this voice in our head which tells us we're not enough. You know, the voice that says, who are you to think that you can start a new job, you know, meet a new person, go and start dating? Who are you to think that you can write a book, start your own business, go off on an adventure? Come on, it's you. You know, you're useless. You're not enough, to quote, you know, Harriet's title. So it's a very common theme, and something that many of us find, that once we've given up the booze, there's the space there, the space to kind of look at this stuff again and maybe, you know, get some help and inspiration along the way. So I'll just tell you a little bit more about Harriet, actually. She was hunted down to speak for audiences, including Microsoft, Barclays and Invesco. And she has, over the years, empowered thousands to believe in themselves and believe in their potential. That's the word, isn't it? It's what's your potential. She has had a very interesting personal journey herself, been through multiple transformations. So she really knows what it takes to make deep-rooted changes that stick. And she's come through herself some really tough times, and she's come through stronger and wiser than ever. So I hope you enjoy the interview. It's Harriet Whaley-Cohen.
Hi, and welcome, and delighted that my guest is Harriet Whaley-Cohen. And I've been wanting to interview Harriet for absolutely ages, because I heard Harriet speak on, I think it was a Club Soda webinar. This was a long time ago. And Harriet is an incredible woman who does an awful lot of things. I suppose you could call her a transformational coach, but we'll get into that. But welcome, Harriet. Tell us a little bit about your story, because amongst other things, I know you work with people who have all kinds of addictions, and that's been part of your journey as well.
That's right. Yeah. So I've been through quite a few sort of transformations myself. I've been sober for 16 and a half years now, since 2002. I've also, I guess, transformed from being a high-flying city career girl to being a mother and an entrepreneur, and also into, you know, creating my own business, inspiring and empowering other women. And I've also transformed from being someone who was in an unhappy marriage to someone who was willing to be brave enough to leave and start over and set up again as a single mother, and retrain and all of that, and get a completely different career going, which is the one I have now. And I've also transformed from being someone who was living life to the full in all kinds of hugely energetic ways, to someone who I've had to learn in the last 3 years how to live with constant pain. I was injured in a car accident 3 years ago, and I have a permanent pain condition. So I've learned to live with that, and to manage my life, manage everything I do, everything that I juggle around being in pain. I'm also a recent cancer survivor as well. I think what I really want your listeners to take away from this is not that, you know, crap stuff happens to me, is that no matter what life throws at me, I've learned how to take care of myself through it, not be a victim, not abandon myself, not drink, and come out stronger, wiser, and kinder. Actually, yeah, kinder to myself, yeah, kinder to the world. And I think that's really at the core of the work that I do, is around helping other people, no matter what's going on for them, to behave in a way where they're on their own side, where they're not holding themselves back, where they're not leaning on things that are actually eventually gonna bite them on the ass and become problems in themselves. So Yeah,
amazing. I mean, I love the fact that, well, I love the fact you talk about kindness. It's a very big thing on this podcast. We talk about self-care and kindness a lot. And I think, you know, what you've just outlined there, this, the fact that you have literally been there, done it, got the t-shirt and so many levels really does kind of qualify you, if you like, to be able to talk to people. But do you, I'm sure you do remember, even though it was obviously a long time ago, when you first decided to, you know, work on your addiction, what was going on for you back then? And do you remember some of the difficulties at that time and how you were able to overcome them?
Yes, absolutely. I think for me, when I was ready to stop, I was so thoroughly good and ready to stop that I was willing to listen to advice, willing to ask for help, and willing to kind of try anything, really, because I knew that what I'd been doing clearly wasn't working for me anymore. And I felt really broken inside. I felt very low. I felt very backed into a corner, very hopeless. And so coming out the other side and just starting to turn things around was a journey back to hope, but also a relearning of how to do things. And I think for me, I'd become this very kind of solitary creature who didn't want to admit to anyone that I wasn't okay. You know, it's all over the media, isn't it? It's okay not to be
okay.
But back then it wasn't really said so much, you know.
People didn't even admit to the same levels of anxiety that people are able to admit to now. Still, mental health still was seen as you know, those people
very
over
stigmatized. Very, very stigmatized. And even though you know, addiction has been classed as an illness for a very long time, this stigma attached to addiction or to any kind of mental health problem was huge back then. And I think there's probably slightly less stigma to some mental health conditions now, but I think depending on where you are and who you're with, addiction does still carry a fair amount of stigma, and people are often, aren't they? They're willing to say, oh, you know, I had a bit of a problem with drink, or I was drinking a bit too much. But to actually put your hand up and say, actually, I'm an alcoholic, is a very different, it's a very bit different ball game, which is interesting, because you would have no problems, would you, saying I'm sensitive to sugar or I'm a diabetic. You would, if you were a diabetic, you would just go, oh, I'm a diabetic, I'm not having that. It wouldn't be a problem. And you wouldn't have a problem taking your insulin and doing whatever you need to do. But for some reason, when it's something that's more emotional, there's this sense that you should be able to just, you know, pull yourself together, or just cheer up or whatever it is. And
yeah. So what was the path for you? What route did you take to become free?
I took the path of asking for help and surrounding myself with people who really, really had trodden that path before, and they knew. You know, I reached out to people that I knew. There was someone I'd been at university with who had, you know, sobered up, and he was very supportive. And there were, you know, other people, and especially there was a few really close childhood friends who had fallen by the wayside because they didn't want to party with me, and all of that. And actually it was almost like a homecoming, to come back home, come back to those people. And often those people, they're your true friends, not the ones who you meet out in a club or a bar, who are only interested in you when you're, you know, part of the drinking crowd.
It's interesting how many changes have sort of happened to you, as you say, all these transformations over the over these years. And do you find that, I mean, do you still think about the fact that you're sober, if you sort of mean, is it even a thing anymore? It's funny, at the beginning it's such a thing, and then over time, is it still a thing? I'm not even sure what that question is, but I just wonder.
It's a really good question, because I actually it's not a thing for me, but I find that when I meet new people, it can be a thing for them. So I'm like really chilled, you know. For example, I was on a business course a few weeks ago, and afterwards everyone went to the pub.
Of course.
And a whole bunch of people I've never met before were suddenly going, well, why aren't you having wine? And I was like, well, I just don't drink, you know? And it was very interesting to see that reaction. Or for example, in the summer, my boys and I moved to the countryside and there's a whole new group of parents at a new school to get to grips with.
Yeah.
And there's a whole new bunch of people who are like, oh, you can't, you know, let's get together over a bottle of wine and we'll get to know each other and da da da, and having to have those conversations all over again.
Yeah.
And I do find that when it gets to this sort of stage, I always say it's a bit like mushrooms, right? I'm really phobic about mushrooms. I don't want them in my house. I don't want to smell them. I definitely don't want to eat them. I don't want them anywhere near me, right? And it's just not on my available set of things I'm going to start doing right now is, you know, mushrooms. And alcohol is a bit like that. It's just not part of my repertoire of things that are going to happen in my life. It's as unlikely as mushrooms, honestly.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So how do you go about working with your clients then? I mean, obviously they're all going to present with different things. I know you work as a mentor and a coach and as we've already said, you can help transform women really. So where do you find yourself starting in many cases? I mean, I suppose I'm asking, what are the kinds of things that you see all the time? Is one issue a lack of self-esteem around women, or a lack of them being kind to themselves?
I think it's both. I do see very often a lack of self-belief, a lack of self-esteem, a lack of self-love, incredibly high standards that we put on ourselves and the media puts on us and society puts on us. So we basically don't feel good enough.
Yeah.
We don't think our bodies are good enough, our relationships, our clothes, our homes, our holidays, our social media profiles, our everything, our career, our opinion, nothing feels good enough. And I think that the what I call disempowering or destructive patterns of behavior, which could be drinking too much or drinking too often or both, or it could be emotional eating, or it could be shopping when you don't need to, or it could be scrolling, or it could be just keeping too busy, right? There are all sorts of ways that we can stop ourselves from feeling what we're feeling and dealing with it. So actually, I see, rather than seeing the drinking and all the other things I've just mentioned as a problem, they're actually our solution.
Mm.
They're our solution to what we're feeling inside and the fact that we don't want to feel the fact that we're uncomfortable with ourselves, we don't like ourselves, and that we don't think we're good enough. And so all these things are kind of, you know, sticking plaster solutions of like, okay, well, let's just not feel this. Let's just go back on social media. Let's just have another glass of wine. Let's have another bar of chocolate. Let's just, you know, fix. But the problem is, this is a feeling on the inside. And when you keep trying to fix it with things on the outside, you can never get there. And so what really has to happen is this inside transformation, which means that those things on the outside just are no longer necessary. And obviously, as I'm sure you know, those things that I just talked about that are external fixes, they actually make you feel worse about yourself.
Yeah.
The sense of shame and self-loathing that can come after a, you know, late night food binge that's followed a late night booze binge that's followed too much shopping, that's blah 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 blah, you know, not to mention texting the ex somewhere in the middle of all of that. The shame the next day, I mean, it just heaps the self-loathing on top. And then it's like, well, now I really need a glass of wine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you start with clients then? How, I mean, if we accept then that we've got this almost, I don't know, it's just everywhere, isn't it? So many of us have got this issue of lack of self-love and all these other things. So where do you start? What's in your toolbox of technique to get people started?
I think the first thing to do is to accept that you're in charge of your own feelings about yourself and that no one can make you feel a certain way. Right, we're in charge, and that it's time to take radical personal responsibility for this. And that comes really. I always say that how you feel about yourself is an action. The mindset, the thinking, the feeling, will follow when the actions are consistently there. So if you imagine, if you're looking after a small child and you say to them, I love you, you're amazing, you're this, you're that, all these, you know, fabulous things that you might say to a small child. And then you dress them in old shitty clothes. Excuse my language. Maybe I shouldn't have just sworn. You feed them on rubbish. Whenever they feel not good, you're like, I don't want to hear this. I'm not giving you a hug. I have a bottle of wine and a big packet of crisps and it's all going to be fine. Right. Just be quiet. The answer is Facebook.
Yeah.
That child is not going to feel loved. That child is going to feel ignored, shamed, confused, all these kinds of things. So there's this massive disconnect. There's this massive lack of self-trust with ourselves. And so we have to rebuild that through actions so that we show ourselves through our actions that we love and care for ourselves. Mm. And some of those actions include things like filtering external influences, right? That are damaging, like saying, okay, well, maybe half the people you're following on social media make you feel crappy about yourself. It might just be that they always look like they're on holiday somewhere with the perfect life. Just unfollow that girl you were at school with 20 years ago. Like, you don't need to know about her holidays. Or it could be celebrities. It could be all sorts of different things. But taking responsibility for the external filters that we allow in, and surrounding ourselves in terms of media and people that really support your sense of self and inspire you and encourage you and believe in you, that's really, really important. Mm. And it's also important to show yourself in every single way that you love, respect and care for yourself, and to do it consistently, right? Because if you imagine that small child, if you were really nice to her 2 days a week, but you treated her like rubbish 5 days a week, she's going to be pretty sure that you think she's rubbish. Mm. So it's consistency of action is very important. And I mean, there's also other pieces to this. There's also the piece around how you show up in your relationships. Are you a victim or are you responsible for how other people treat you? And also, what do you bring into the world? Do you feel good about what you bring into the world? Are you behaving in ways that are aligned with your ethics, values, politics, all that kind of thing? Because let's imagine you're someone who really values certain things to do with the environment or to do with health or whatever, and then you end up working, doing marketing for a junk food company, you're not going to feel good about yourself. Mm. So it's very important to behave in a way that's aligned with your values as well in order to feel good about yourself. You know, it's that thing, you know, when you kind of told a bit of a lie and then you feel really icky inside and then you're like, oh, I don't want to feel this. Oh, glass of wine, whatever.
Yeah.
So that there's so many different elements to how you can support your sense of self and your sense of how you feel about yourself. But just knowing that firstly, you're in charge. Know what, you're not a victim of anybody else. You're in charge. And so there's lots you can do about it, which is really great. And also that it's about action. It's not about trying to think your way into feeling different, right? Because you know mantras, a lot of people say, oh, you should stand in the mirror and say, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so amazing. But the thing is if you've got a voice in the back of your head that says, what a load
of, no, I'm not. Absolutely.
A load of voodoo, you've got to just say, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So I've always seen that the behavior causes a shift. A shift in behavior will cause a shift in a shift in feeling and a shift in thinking. And some people say, oh, you know, fake it till you make it. But I say, be it until you see it.
Mm. So give us one really tiny thing then that anyone could do, even if, you know, because I'm conscious that there could be people who are right at the beginning of this journey, maybe that all of those things you're talking about, perhaps they're eating too much, drinking too much, in abusive relationships. It could be a whole load of things. It could be one, it could be all of them. Sometimes you can feel so bogged down with everything that numbing it seems to be the only way. And all of the stuff you're talking about sounds like a fabulous ideal, but it's just too much for them. So what's the one thing, thing that anyone can start with?
I think it's about saying, how can I show myself that I love and respect myself right now. And it might be, I was talking to someone that I mentor yesterday, actually, and we decided that the one thing she was going to do was just drink more water.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, let's just nourish your body. How could you nourish your body? And I think starting with kind actions towards yourself, whether that's wearing something a bit more lovely than usual every day, like put your nice underwear on, right? Put your nice underwear on, or just having a bit more water, or just one extra piece of fruit, or just ironing your shirt for once, whatever it is, just one tiny little action each day that says to you, do you know what? I'm just throwing a bit more love at myself.
Yeah.
I think that's where to start. Because when it comes to, okay, now I've got to filter my social media, get rid of all the horrible people in my life, change my career, as you say, it's utterly overwhelming. But we can all do these tiny little acts of love towards ourselves. It's not too hard to pick up an apple or have a glass of water, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, the other thing that, you know, I'm struck by is you're talking about the fact that you've been, you know, clean and sober for a lot of years, and obviously you have amazing things going on in the work that you do, but you're not without your fair share of strife as well. You know, you've, as you say, you had the accident, you've had illness, and I think it's really important to be really clear to people that just because you've you know, done something great for yourself and quit the booze, when no one's trying to say that, you know, crap stuff won't happen. And I think that's really important, isn't it? But also you dealt with it differently then, because I think there can be a real time when if a crisis occurs, people can think, right, okay, well, I may as well just go back to the booze then.
Exactly. I think the main thing is that is to get real clarity on knowing that just adding booze in is going to give you extra problems rather than being a solution. And if you find yourself really wanting to numb out, there's lots of other things that you can do. And that's where having a really amazing support system is so important that you've already got used to using, right? I often say to some of the women that I work with, get your support system in place now, even if you don't think you need it, because you want to be already used to reaching out.
Yeah.
So that when something really crappy happens, or, you know, God forbid you do feel like having a drink, you're already used to just reaching out, being honest, being vulnerable and accepting support. Because that's a big thing, isn't it? This business of actually allowing people to see us for who we are, warts and all, and know that we're still lovable and be able to accept that love.
And where do we find that support then? Because, you know, you've mentioned several times the problems with being online all the time and with social media and everyone else's life looking amazing. So how do we find that support? Is it through online communities, you know, like Club Soda or various others, or do you recommend that we, I don't know, physically go out and join a club and meet people in our locality?
I think it can be whatever works for people. What I found is that none of those kinds of vulnerable, honest, supportive relationships have happened in the blink of an eye, and they've all taken work and investment, and they've required some sort of commitment on everybody's part that we're there for each other. So there was one group of girlfriends, actually, we met through public speaker training, and one of the girls was getting married, which is a woman by then. We were all women, we weren't girls. And so a WhatsApp group was created for her hen weekend, and it was all very logistical and fun and glitter and, you know, blow up unicorns and this kind of thing. And then after that hen weekend, when we'd all got to know each other a lot more, we carried on and we organized a weekend away about 6 months later. And whilst we were there, one of the women said that she was going to do a 21-day self-care challenge, which was just about committing to one thing each day and holding each other accountable and being able to share honestly what was going on for you emotionally and what you needed to give yourself. And she said, does anyone want to join in with us? Now, interestingly, the same seven of us that were in the hen party group joined the self-care group. And we all made that commitment. And it's now it must be well over 2 years later. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, it's well over 2 years later that that self-care group is going. Right. And because we created that structure and said, look, we're going to share honestly. If anyone needs support, reach out. If you want to commit to self-care stuff, this is the place to do it. So we created that structure, and our relationships have deepened so much because of it. But we all kind of took that leap of faith and said, okay, let's be there for each other. And do it. And because we started with that 21-day thing where we all were checking in every day, and so we just, it created this loveliness. Mm. So I love that.
There's such power in community, isn't there? I really love that. That's one of the things that, you know, the more you read about, you know, sort of other cultures where community is so intrinsic to their lives, you realize that this is the bit we've got so wrong, really, in so many ways, you know, trying to be isolating ourselves apart from popping up on social media to try and say everything's fine.
Well, I'm sure you've seen Johan Hari's work around addiction, where the opposite of addiction is connection, right?
Yes.
And this is what it's about. And when you feel connected, you feel that you're part of something, you feel valued, and you feel that you have something to offer, and you feel safe, then you don't feel the need to suppress your feelings anymore.
Yeah.
And this is it. If you can find a safe space where other people are saying, hey, however you feel, it's okay, and we love you anyway, it becomes easier to feel that way about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Harriet, I know you do lots of things. Obviously, you do your coaching, workshops and talks. What's the one sort of message, if you like, that you always really like to get across if you're giving a talk or a workshop? What's the one thing you want to kind of really stress?
You are more than enough already. You are more than acceptable. You are more than lovable, just as you are. And also, you're not broken and you don't need fixing.
Love it.
Yeah, because I think there's a real thing in the personal development industry of kind of trying to convince people they're broken. And if they'll only buy this program and work these 25 steps and pay $20,000, then you might just about be fixed and be acceptable. But I think there's real power in saying, well, you're not broken. You're already more than good enough.
Yeah, love it. Tell us about the event that you have going on in May.
Yes, so I'm really, really excited. I'm putting on a one-day event in May called Goodbye Not Enough. And as it sounds, like, it's about learning how to say goodbye to not feeling enough. So we will be talking about the inner critic, we'll be talking about honoring yourself, we'll be talking about how to show yourself love, self-forgiveness, all these sorts of beautiful things. It's going to be a lovely group of people as well.
And where is it? Where's that?
It's going to be in central London. I will be able to confirm details on the venue nearest to the time.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us where people can find out more about your work then, and find out details about the event.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously there's my website, which is harrietwhaleycohen.com. But I would say that the most supportive, fun and free place for people to join in and just find out a bit more about me is that I have a free group on Facebook, social media, imaginatively called Harriet's Inner Circle.
Cool.
And it's really just a safe space for people who would like to learn how to feel really great about themselves. And there's tons of free videos in there, some of them pre-recorded ones professionally, some of them live streams where I just have a bit of a rant. And it's all designed to show people how to have a better relationship with themselves. So it could be that there's like a 10-part series in there on how to love your body. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there about how to have good relationships with others, or to prepare yourself to be in a romantic relationship, for example, how to speak up with confidence. So many different little videos in there that I think would be really helpful for people. So,
amazing.
And I always release details of my events and special offers there first. That's where the good stuff goes, because I think, well, if people are going to be in my group, then I honor that by giving
Sounds
there
amazing.
First.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm going to join. Well, I'll put the details of that in the
notes.
Harriet, it's so lovely to have you as a guest. I could talk to you for hours, but people can find out more about you. So thank you so much. I hope the event goes really well. And, you know, we'll speak again, I hope. Thank you.
That would be lovely. Thanks, Cheers. Janie. Bye.
So check out Harriet Whaley Cohen's work and her retreat, Goodbye Not Enough, even if you don't make this one. I'm sure she'll be running others. And for my self-care tip this week, well, I haven't got anything specific that I wanted to share with you. So I thought I'd just tell you what I had for lunch. Oh, wow. Yeah, the girl's a genius. No, what it is, I'm just trying to kind of get back to myself eating a little healthier. I mean, I eat pretty well, but I do sometimes find myself reaching for the bread, you know, for a sandwich, even if it is decent rye sourdough. It's still not a great idea to have too much of it. So I've managed to make a batch of soup the other day, and it was just so good. I thought, I'm going to share this recipe. It's also really good for you when you're not drinking to boost your body with really good veg. And I thought I'd make this super easy. And I'd go for a soup that you can have raw. Well, it is raw, so you can have it completely raw and even only very gently warmed if you want to, or you can have it hot. And it's also vegan, but it's super tasty. And literally all it is, it requires a blender. So I hope you've got a blender. In fact, if you haven't, then it's a great thing to invest in. And the higher speed, the better. But a blender is really good, obviously, because you're going to want to make smoothies when you're not drinking sometimes. And so literally all you do for this soup, I'm not reading anything here, so this is very, this is not exactly an exact science. I'm one of those people that cook by grabbing a handful of whatever it is. So literally into your blender, you would put a bunch of tomatoes. Now, what works really well is a mix, actually, of kind of cherry tomatoes, even those lovely different coloured ones that you can sometimes get, and the kind of big beefsteak tomatoes. Bizarre name, isn't it? But that's kind of what they're called. So a mix of tomatoes is good, but any tomatoes is fine. So you pop a bunch of them in your blender. As I said, it's not very exact science, so I can't tell you how much. Depends how much soup you want to make, but you can always make more. And then you need, because the tomatoes are very juicy, you don't really need liquid. So what you do is you pop this, a whole bunch of nice juicy tomatoes into your blender. Then you add the little magic ingredient, which is a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons if you're making a lot of sun-dried tomatoes. And of course they come in with a little bit of oil usually. So you shove your sun-dried tomatoes in there. And then here's the magic bit. As long as you have a relatively high speed blender that can cope with it. If you don't, then you're going to have to juice it first. But what you pop into there is half an apple. So peel it and obviously take the bits out and then pop half an apple in there. You can chop it up if you want to make it easier for your blender. Or as I say, if your blender is not at all high speed, then you might have to juice that first if it's a hard apple. So half an apple, bunch of tomatoes, sun-dried tomatoes, salt, sea salt or Himalayan salt, and pepper, and a really good squeeze of lemon or lime. And that's it. That's it. Whiz it up. It'll be relatively thick consistency, and it's amazing how it goes a kind of pinky colour. And then you can heat it up if you want to, or you can have it like a cold soup and serve it with a little tiny swirl of coconut cream or yogurt if you eat dairy, and a little bit of basil on top. So there you go. There's my recipe. It's really good for you. And of course, for guys, tomatoes are fantastically good, very rich in lycopene, although I think you're meant to cook them, aren't you, to get the real benefits. So just make it a warm soup. So another reminder then of our event, Monday 20th of May at the Jago in Dalston with Elsa Frank and Dr. Richard Piper from Alcohol Change UK. Check out Eventbrite, type in self-care for the sober curious, and I would absolutely love to see you there. For Alcohol Change UK, by the way, I must let you know that there is a conference coming up. It's Wednesday, June the 19th, the Alcohol Change UK conference in London. I'm going to be part of that. I'm going to be hosting some of the sessions. They've got some really interesting speakers. It's a real mix. It's aimed at everybody, kind of the medical profession. They've got some kind of political topics and discussions. It's going to be an interesting day. So have a look on the Alcohol Change website and see if you can make it along to that as well. I've got a blog post on there at the moment, which you might be interested in, about celebrities and their FOMA, F-O-M-A, that's their fear of missing alcohol. That's picking up from the TV thing I did on Good Morning Britain a couple of weeks ago. So check out the blog. There's some great blogs on there. They've got some really inspirational people writing some stuff for them. So I think that's kind of it for this week. A slightly shorter podcast. It was really long last week, wasn't it? I noticed. As you can see, I don't plan it. It is what it is. Don't forget, if you have any suggestions of people that you'd like me to interview, let me know. I can always ask. It'll always be worth a try. I am going to interview a couple of listeners. I've got that kind of lined up. So really looking forward to bringing you some stories. And if you wanted to share yours, please do drop me an email. It's janie@janieleegrace.com. Or you can find me on Instagram, @JanieLeeGrace, and I'm on Facebook as well. I'm quite easy to find, really, so it'd be lovely if you wanted to get in touch. And for next week's podcast, I've got a super exciting announcement to make next week. I can't share it with you yet, but I'm going to share something very exciting with you this time next week. So have a fantastic week, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Janie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.